Welcome to the Delling Pod with me, James Delling Pod. And I know I always say I'm excited about this week's special guest, but I really am looking forward to talking to Michael O'Neill. G'day, Michael.
Hello, how are you going, mate?
Can you hear me? That was a great start. It froze. Can you hear me now?
I don't know. I can hear you perfectly now, and I don't know what happened there. I'm hoping it hasn't been caused from my end.
No, well, it doesn't matter anyway. It's an amusing glitch to start off the podcast. Yeah. Michael, I didn't know of you until a few weeks ago, but I came across your wife Barbara, because somebody in my Telegram chat group sent me this one of her amazing lectures that she gives, and this one was on water, H2O, and on the importance of consuming it with a sort of pinch of salt.
Yes.
And ever since then, I've been sort of, you know, going around with, I went to Venice the other day with my wife, and one of the things I was doing was going around with a little sort of pot of Celtic sea salt or whatever, of sea salt, because I know how important it is. And she's such a compelling spirit. There you are.
I have it on my desk here, and so when I add my water, I have a little bit of salt, yes.
I mean, it's a game changer, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's a wonderful health benefit, as all the practical things that Barbara does teach. It's just all body health-enhancing things, very simple things that we can do that really give us a better life.
Yeah, sort of health hacks, I suppose you'd call them, or life hacks. They're just easy. Yeah.
Yes.
And transformative.
Absolutely, yeah. James.
Tell me about yourself and tell me about Barbara. I mean, you've written a book called The Assassination of Barbara O'Neill, which I'm happy to say is not literal. I mean, nobody's...
No. Barbara is well and truly alive. In fact, I was just talking to her 15 minutes ago before, and she was very much alive. She's laid up at the moment. She was out gardening, as she often does when she gets home, and she had a spike of wood stuck up through her foot. But she's over there, and I set her up for hot and cold treatments, and she's going well. But, yes, I did write this little book called The Assassination of Barbara O'Neill, and basically it was the character assassination of Barbara O'Neill, the unwarranted and unfair and absolutely absurd attack that was made by the Friends of Science and Medicine and in conjunction with the authorities in Australia to silence her voice of rational and common sense health.
Michael, before we go there, just tell us a bit about yourself and a bit about Barbara. I mean, obviously you're Australian, I can tell that. You live in the country in New South Wales. How did you meet? Tell us all about that first.
Okay, well, there's so much involved in that question, but look, I personally have been involved in health retreats for 35 years. I started my first health retreat when I was 30 years old, and I'm now 65. And Barbara and I met and married about 25 years ago. We've been married, and I saw the value on her very, very practical, common sense reasoning. I had two children. I was a single parent. Barbara had six children, and she was a single parent. So we then all of a sudden had a little Brady Bunch, and we had eight children who were all great little workers in our endeavours of starting a health retreat. So myself, I've always been interested in what the truth is. I want to know, what is true? I'm hearing this over here, and I'm hearing that there, and I very much value the tenets of freedom. I just like to live my life freely, which really, as an Australian and part of the Commonwealth, we should have that enshrined and guaranteed that we are a free people. And so I became very, very alarmed when I have seen a lot of things happen, and particularly in the medical area, that we're in natural health, but of course there's this huge push in our country, and I believe that would be to some degree in the UK.
It's everywhere.
Where the pharmaceutical behemoth, this massive, massive conglomerate, just seems to override, and the general population are largely ignorant of some of the basic tenets of health, and we've come to just completely trust in the system to rescue us without making any sort of, you know, real concerted effort to be healthy.
Was there a wake up moment for you? I mean, were you always mistrustful, or was there an incident or something that changed your
mind?
Actually,
there was. I'm glad you brought that up. But my grandmother, when she was in the final years of her life, I dearly loved her, and she ended up in a home, and she went blind, and she was incapacitated. And they told us, they said, the family needs to gather. They're going to pull her off all medication, and we're going to let her go. So we all went down there. They pulled her off all the medication, and she got better and better. And within a week, her eyesight had returned, and she was able to get out of bed. And then they said, oh, it looks like it was the medication. At the time, I was in my 20s, and I thought, really? Really? How does that work? You know, because I just had embedded in me some level of trust in the science and the system. You know, it's nothing wrong to trust in science, and science has made so many fascinating inroads. I mean, we fly in aeroplanes, we trust the science there because they're absolute sciences. We trust that our car is, it's all based on science. But of course, then I realized as we go into medical, then science in the name of science is completely abandoned. And we have this, there's money to be made, it's power, and yeah. So yes, that was a bit of a moment for me. There was one other incident that happened. I attended a health retreat. My sister at the time, who was an air hostess, which was quite a prestigious job back then when we were both in the 20s. I was 29, she was 28, and she became very ill. She got irritable bowel syndrome. And I urged her to attend a health retreat, which we attended together. Previous to going in there, her diagnosis was that it was incurable and that she needed to have part of a colon removed and go onto a bag. She was a very beautiful girl at 28 years old. She and I just thought, really, how could this be? How could you be 28 years old and end up on a bag out of a belly? But we went to the health retreat, and she got 100% better, completely better, just embracing these simple methods. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to start a health retreat. This is a worthwhile job. This is what I want to do. And that was probably in 1987. And I am a businessman. That's my nature. And I found the retreat. It was done the buildings up and embarked on my first spa wellness center health retreat.
What happens? I love the sound of it. I'd love to come on one of your health retreats. Yeah. What happens? What do you do?
Well, we take people in. Basically, we take over their life. You come in and you'll stay for 1 week or 2 weeks, and we will then determine when you're going to wake up, when you're going to go to bed, when you're going to drink, when you're going to exercise, what you're going to eat, what you're not going to eat.
Sounds similar to prison, I have to say, Michael, so far. It could be a POW camp.
Yeah, well, it could be, but it isn't. It's a beautiful environment. Now, this particular, I'm here at my latest retreat, which is Misty Mount. When I say latest, I've been here we've had this for 20 years. It's in one of the most gorgeous environments you find in Australia. We have a mountain stream that just comes pristine out of the mountains, runs right through the middle of the property. It's on 450 acres, and I suppose in metric, that's about 210 hectares. We have multiple buildings, and so people come and stay. They have very nice accommodation. We have amazing staff who are there all the time, who just tend them. We have massage therapists. We have naturopaths. We have counsellors. And it's a really very, very, very nice place to be. In fact, I've just previous coming here, I don't know if you see my hair still a bit, I've just had a steam sauna, and I had it with a bunch of the guys that are here doing the program. And one of the guys, he said to me, he's been a serious problem with alcohol, and he's never felt so good, and he just hopes he can hang in there when he leaves. And I said, well, you know, if you really like, you seem like a good hard worker, you can just stay here and give me a bit of a help for a while. Mow some lawns. He said, really? I can't believe you'd let me do that. I said, yeah, sure. I'll give you some accommodation and I'll give you some work. And he said, then I just need a little longer before I go and hit the world out there. He said, I going past a pub's going to be difficult.
Oh, that's lovely. So how sort of what percentage of your guests are seriously ill and what are kind of just sort of okay, yep, but need to sort of spruce up?
I would say that probably 30% are seriously ill, and probably 70% just come here to, yeah, they know that they're not running on all cylinders and they just need a zing up. And we have people that come sort of regularly. They leave and say, well, we're committed. We're never looking back. We're going to be healthy. but of course, they come back and maybe a year or two later and say, well, we need some help again. We've slipped off the wagon and we never felt so good as when we left this place. So please do it again. And that's what we try and do. Of course.
I've got to ask you, Michael, how on earth did you cope during the COVID tyranny when your country was forcing you pretty much to get this experimental gene therapy jab that you, yes, you must have known was not good?
Oh, well, 100%. I know. I didn't trust it for a minute because, in fact, when this COVID broke, I was in Florida. I was in a number of places crisscrossing America with Barbara lecturing, and I heard about it, and they said, there's this virus, you know, this COVID, you know. And I thought, really? Why are we worried about a virus? That's nothing. It's sort of like, I'm healthy, you're healthy, you know, like we have these all the time. We get sick. What are they talking about? This is madness. And I really thought this will blow over in a couple of months. You can't sustain such stupidity. Don't they understand anything about disease and how the body works? Yeah. And I remember I was in Florida, down in Miami, and we were about to catch a plane back to Colorado. And the lady that we were working with there, she says, you're going to get on a plane? The COVID's there. There could be someone on the plane. I said, you know what? I'll tell you something. If every person on that plane's got COVID, I'm happy to kiss a lot of them. That's about how worried I am of this COVID. He said, really? That's extreme. I said, no. This is not extreme. What they're telling you is extreme because it's not true. It's a lie. So I don't believe there was a second in my life that I actually believed it because I understand the nature of disease. I understand what viruses are. And I wasn't going to be scared of something because the media told me to be scared or the government. Oh, goodness me. The government. Possibly the most untrustworthy organs on the planet, and all of a sudden now we're going to they're going to be our mother, our doctor, you know, our nursemaid. Really? Not in my life. I'm sorry, that wasn't something I was going to go. As far as our health retreat, we were closed for 11 months.
No.
11 months.
A health retreat closed.
We were closed down. In fact, I had police visit here. We had officials come out here because it was reported that we refused to wear masks. True, we did.
Yeah.
We refused to put QR codes on our door and for people to check in. Yeah, that's true too. Guilty. And the other thing, the police came out and said we had another serious offence against us, that we were serving a buffet. And I mean... The poor police came out here and I just said, you must be joking, guys. You've come all the way out here, 1 hour from where you are, to tell us we're serving a buffet. I can't believe you did that. Did someone dob us in? Tell me who dobbed us in. I want to know. Anyway, they just became embarrassed. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm sorry, fellas. This is un-Australian. Honestly, you must see that this is just stupid. In fact, they were so embarrassed, they apologised and left.
I'm glad you made that point about on Australian, because I think everyone has an idea of what being Australian ought to be.
And absolutely.
It's kind of, you like the outdoors, no worries, mate, you know, have a tinny, etc., etc. It's not about this kind of fascist police state that seemed to have emerged in, well, I mean, Victoria was even worse, wasn't it, under Dan Andrews, but New South Wales didn't escape.
No, we didn't escape. We were probably the least affected, even though we were seriously affected, than all the other states, because in Australia, the government of the New South Wales is the Liberal Party. The Liberal Party is, it's actually a contradiction, because the Liberal Party in Australia is the Conservative Party. And they were a little hesitant to go to the extremes of, say, Dan Andrews or Anastasia Palaszczuk or this other clown that's in charge over in Western Australia. But it was still pretty hard. I mean, I've been arrested. I'm still going before the courts for breaches of COVID regulations, failing to comply with COVID directives.
How hard was it? I mean, I'm sure you never took the death jab. How hard was it not taking it? I mean, how much pressure was put on you to get this thing?
Well, there was enormous pressure put on us. So to avoid the pressure, one thing I did, well, we stopped watching the mainstream media, because it was complete propaganda saturation if you watch that. And so the common people, I realised, and most people were just watching it and they believed the lie. And of course, they all felt, even if they didn't agree, they felt they were doing the right thing. You know, they were saving someone else. Yeah, it was a huge pressure. Of course, I never took it. In fact, I assembled all my staff when we received directives that we couldn't operate unless our staff was directed. And I said, look, I've got this directive. And I just wanted to tell you this, that I'm not the ruler of your life. That's you. But as your employer, I'm just going to tell you one thing, that I will be disappointed if you did. Okay? Your job's still safe. I'm not going to sack anyone for not getting it, even though they say we can't operate. And we just continue to operate. And as long as we could, yes. We were closed for 11 months. And the reason we were closed for 11 months is because I was willing to be open, and people came, but people didn't come. People were terrified. The streets were empty. I continued to drive and travel, and I thought, I am not going to let this change my life. But it was eerie going on highways that are empty and police cars. Now, I didn't get pulled over. I don't know whether it was because I'm an old silver-haired man driving maybe a late model car, or they might have thought, oh, well, he's so blatant, he must have some sort of a written authority to travel, or he might be a government person. But no, I just went wherever I wanted to go, because I felt, I'm not going to be in a free country just told how to behave. It was quite eerie. I remember doing a trip and I went through town after town and I wanted to buy a meal and everything was closed. And I finally found in one small town a Chinese restaurant that was open, and I went in and they were serving, and I said, I'm glad you're open. And they said, oh, yeah, be careful. But they desperately had to sell their meals because they wanted to live. They needed to sell food so that they could live.
And what was the food like?
Yeah, it was actually a darn good meal. Yes. And I wasn't allowed to eat in. I had to take it out, and I had to go and sit on the street there and eat my meal in seclusion.
Right. Have you had any success treating? You must have encountered people who've been damaged by these vaccines. Have you had any success in treating them?
Well, we have had many people come here now that tell us straight up. They said, "I have never been well since I've had that vaccine." So they've come in here, and what we do, I personally am not one of the, we have naturopaths here, we have other people, so they work out some sort of regime that to help them, and they tell me that it really helped them. They feel a lot better. We're just going to work with the body, because the healer, the only healer, honest, in the natural world, is the body. The body is the healer. So what we're just trying to do is aid the body. We're going to start detoxing it. We're going in every way possible, getting it exercising and trying to bring it, get it back, because their bodies have been squirted into them a toxic substance. Unfortunately, with this RNA technology, it's deeper than just getting a toxic substance. They've got something that actually, you know, tampers with their own DNA, which is very, very, very wrong.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I think we should now talk about Barbara. okay. who is
I'm always
totally
happy to talk about my wife.
Totally amazing. I mean, I'm a massive, massive fan. I also, by the way, like the way she's got lots of scripture, lots of biblical scripture in her head.
Yes.
I mean, one thing I've noticed, Michael, is during the last 2 years, a lot of people have realized the true nature of the world and have come yes. over to Jesus. Yes. It's extraordinary. I know loads of people. People who are awake are often Christian at the same time. I know Barbara is. I imagine you are as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Because what's going on in the world is evil, is it not?
Of course it's evil. It has all the hallmarks of evil. It's no less evil than the insidious road that Germany took in the 1930s. It's no less evil than the road that communism and the Bolshevik Revolution started and ended up with Stalinism in the USSR. We are on a slippery slope into tyranny and despotism. And I see that. Can you imagine? Now, we want to talk about Barbara, my wife. There's Barbara. She's never had a complaint against her. We have an organisation in Australia called the Healthcare Complaints Commission, HCCC. The organiser was set up so patients who have a problem with a practitioner go along and they say, this practitioner, you know, cut out my left kidney when they were supposed to take the right, or they took off my right leg when they were taking, you know, it, like for legitimate complaints. But what it's become now, it's become the enforcer of a pharmaceutical dogma. And so the complaints against Barbara, my wife, were in no ways about anybody that was treated by her. They were philosophical complaints by pharmaceutical lobbyists and people who had a philosophical objection to her natural bent. Basically, she's the opposition. And the HCCC should just discard these, they should be discarded. And in fact, when I first saw the complaints, because the first complaint against Barbara was that she was recommending goat's milk for children. And they said that that's potentially fatal. I questioned them. I said, really? I've never heard of it being fatal. Could you give us the documentation that shows it's fatal? They said, well, while there is no recorded deaths from goat's milk for children, it is potentially fatal because of the electrolyte balance. I'd be like, really? Like potential, what's potentially fatal? Walking on the footpath is potentially fatal.
Especially in Australia, mate. With all your snakes and things and your funnel webs.
Well, you know, we don't worry too much about them. I've been living in the country a long time. I run across snakes all the time. They are actually quite scared of you. But of course, anyway, that's another story.
Sorry. Carry on. Tell us more about this ridiculous, outrageous. By the way, what you're telling me is consistent with the experience of so many people working in alternative health. So we've yes. got a dentist over here, a guy called Mike Mew, who has found a different way of doing orthodontistry, yes. which works, which is much, much better. And he's being yes. harassed and taken to court by conventional dentists, not because his technique doesn't work, but because they want to destroy him. So what they're doing to Barbara in Australia sounds very similar to this.
It is absolutely correct. And on dentists, you know, a few years ago, there was some dentists came out and said that mercury amalgam fillings are actually detrimental and they're very bad. And, of course, they were poo-hooed from top to bottom, from the ADA right to their fellow yeah. dentists in the industry. But, of course, now it's pretty much standard practice that you don't use amalgam fillings. So it always is generational, and people protect their own little nest through ignorance or laziness because they don't want to have to relearn something else. But we have a famous Australian. Her name is Sister Margaret Kenny. She was a bush nurse, and she found a cure, which was almost 100% for polio back during the polio epidemic. She was lampooned in Australia so badly she escaped and fled to England. She didn't get much better treatment in England, so she went to America. And, of course, the Americans embraced her. She started to cure the polio patients, and they have the Kenny Institute up there in Minnesota, or Minneapolis, actually. I've been there. And back in Australia, they had a royal commission and still found her to be a threat to public health. So I don't see anything's changed since the days of Sister Margaret Kenny. Of course, they made a Hollywood movie about her story because it's quite a fascinating story. She's now a hero. But, of course, in the day when it's all happening, change comes so slow. She was demonized. And Barbara, what does Barbara do? And people often ask me, they say, well, what really happened? I said, well, Barbara did very dangerous things, you know, it's terribly. I mean, you know, she told people to drink more water. She told them to go to bed earlier. She try and get 8 hours sleep a night. She told them they should start exercising. And really, that's all? I said, that's it. It's called the 8 laws of health. That is her mantra. And she expands it. And then she shows scientifically why when you do these things, that your health will be enhanced and you will get well. She's able to explain it. And, of course, easy knowledge is easy to him that understands. That's in our biblical proverb. And once people understand, they think, you know what, that I'm going to do that, because it's not just like, oh, you should drink more water. Oh, you should stop eating bad things. She can get in and define it and give you little tips. For that, she is deemed a threat to public health in Australia. A threat to public health.
Where did Barbara learn this stuff?
Well, she's been passionate. It's quite a long. She has a fascinating. If you ever, I'm happy to send you, James, one of my books. We can talk about that later. But yeah. I give a little bit of a history there. But she was a mother living in. She was a hippie for 12 years, living in a rainforest, and she had the children, and she just. She observed, she read and read. She's a ferocious reader, and she loves to read health books. Honestly, we're always buying them. And she'll say, oh, I need this other. Anything that comes out, she reads it. Just because she says, I must know what's the latest. And she can either accept it or discard it, you know. And, of course, she's had many, many years of treating people, them getting well, so you make observation. This is what a true doctor does. They as they get older, they get what this quality that cannot be quantified. It's called wisdom, experience, you know. And of course, you know, I was talking to a young doctor about 6 months ago, and she's just graduated. She said, oh yes, Barbara's very unscientific. And I thought, you little upstart, what would you know? You're barely out of your nappies and come out of that university where you've been all hyped up, and you're talking about a woman who has spent her entire life and has a God-given gift of great wisdom and experience, and you think you know, this is, we value the credentials but not the wisdom, and that's not how a good society should run. Good societies and old societies and even biblical societies, they valued the elders and the wisdom. And Barbara is an elder and has a great amount of wisdom.
Yes. And now she can't, she's forbidden by law from transmitting that wisdom.
Yes. I just thought I might have had a letter here. We got a letter because she did a Zoom calls in Australia, one to UK and one to Africa. So then we got a letter from the ACCC, and they said, oh, we're aware that she did some Zoom calls to the country. And because they originated in Australia, she is, if we were to pursue this, she is potentially liable to 3 years jail. So you must cease and desist from doing these calls. And
nothing, so you mean the intelligence services are monitoring your...
She has been monitored by the ACCC and whatever organs they have at their disposal. This is Big Brother. This is Big Brother at his worst, or her worst, or their worst, or whatever worst it is.
Mm. That is extraordinary. So what, can she not make international phone calls at all? I mean, how are they going to?
That's very good. I actually dispute that letter. And look, I went to court. I went to the hearing with Barbara. The hearing was a complete stitch up, where they just sat there. So we're at the Healthcare Complaints Commission. We're assessing Barbara on her health advice. Do you know how many health professionals are in that room? None. There were two very unhealthy lawyers sat right in front of her. And I knew they were unhealthy. I took one look at them. I thought, these people are suffering seriously with their health. Then they had two investigators just a little bit back on the other side. If ever it was a communist court, that was it. And so they just fired questions at Barbara. And this went on. And a few times she came to tears because they were making very, you know, cruel accusations and not telling the truth and trying to make her out that she was a liar. And she says, oh, I don't lie. And I do know this. She won't lie. You know, sometimes I'll say to her, look, just say. She just looks at me as if am I coming from another planet. Of course she's not going to tell an untruth. That doesn't actually bode well when you're into these crooked courts. When we walked out of that hearing, we had engaged a lawyer to assist us, and the lawyer was mute pretty much through the whole thing. It was a complete waste of money. But I did say to her, I said, well, how did it go? And she said, oh, I'm very surprised. She said they actually had nothing on Barbara. Yeah, I thought they were going to bring out some stuff that they could really incriminate her, but she said they had nothing. And I said, oh, that's great. They're not going to do anything. She said, no, they're going to give her a permanent prohibition order, but she's not going to be fined or charged or go to court because there's nothing to charge her with. So they'll just give her a permanent prohibition order. I said, well, how does that happen? See, this is the behavior of communist courts back in the USSR.
She's done nothing wrong, but we're going to find her guilty.
Find her anyway. Find her anyway. I give a little analogy in my book that I used to campaign back in my 20s for people that were imprisoned in communist prisons, Christian, to be released. So we do all this letter writing and get petitions, and we'd send them to the Russian embassy and so forth and so on. And now I read a book. I'm not sure who wrote it, but it was some person eventually got out, and when they went to court, they were given 10 years and they had to line up, and some got 25 years. And so they lined up at the prison and they were told, you give us your name, your crime and your sentence. And so he said, my name is so-and-so, my crime is political and my sentence is 25 years. And then he said, but I'm innocent. And they said, liar, if you're innocent, you only get 10 years, you're guilty. So and this is how it is today, you know, you're innocent, but they just scrub you off. I had a doctor at our health retreat last week who's been scrubbed off, Dr. Kevin Coleman. He was in charge of vaccination in all Western New South Wales, and all he did was made observations that they were having problems. He expressed them. He said, look, we've got some problems out here with the vaccination rollout amongst children. They said, just But he said, I couldn't. I had to look further into this. And so he was struck off. They kept telling you to be quiet. He didn't. And so he's lost his license to practice as a doctor. So it doesn't matter where you stand. This behemoth, this evil empire, if I didn't use that word, they come after you.
But, But apart from the dangerous, the deadly goat's milk that Barbara was yes. suggesting, what were there any other accusations made against her? Cancer?
Yes, I'm going to read out. These are the five charges that they gave her. She right. failed to provide a health service in a safe and ethical manner. Mm-hmm.
That's for the lawyers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they can define safe and ethical.
Yeah, that's right. The number two is held herself out to able to cure cancer, which, as I said in the book, that's false. It's true. In fact, we were extremely careful. We understand the implications to saying I can cure cancer or I have a cure for cancer. Mm. We already know that they can come after you and destroy it. We're not going to do that. We know that that would be a suicide for your career. But they claim she did because people who had come and been cured of cancer, some of them had been very vocal about their stories, and they'd been magazine articles in Australia on these, how they'd gone to Misty Mountain, treated by Barbara O'Neill, and got better. And so they used that as their evidence. But we said, but that's not us, that's them. Yeah, they said, no. And the third one is dissuaded clients from seeking continued treatment by a registered medical practitioner. you know, as if people are too stupid. You're not allowed to make a decision, you know. You offer people an alternative. It's called getting a second opinion. Goodness me, that's all very, very bad. Number four, engaged in misinformation in relation to the service you provided. How vague is that? In misinformation. And the last one they got was failed to keep records of consultations. That was absolutely stupid. What it was, Barbara kept very detailed records of the constitutions, but for a little while we worked out of our house when we were doing renovations. And so she kept all the records at home. And when we were finally moving, it was my fault. I picked up a whole bunch of these and threw them away. So when they went through the records, they found there was a gap of missing consultations. In a fair and equal world, they'd say, oh, don't let that happen again. You know, you've got to be careful. You know, don't let your husband get his throw things out. But no, that was one of the charges. Like, they just made it as if she didn't keep records. It was just an utter nonsense. She had extensive records. And the interesting thing is, she keeps them very confidential to regard all her clients' confidentiality. But of course, they just came in and they just wanted them. They took them. You know, they're the ones that breached confidentiality. And yeah.
Where do you think this all came from? Have you sort of managed to track down the author of all your? I mean, obviously, the real author of your ills is Satan, but who are his servants on earth in this case?
Okay, in 2015, we lived a very peaceful environment. We helped people. We never got any much trouble from the authorities. Well, really, no trouble from the authorities. But they brought in a law in Australia called No Jab, No Pay. And so what it was that if you didn't get your children vaccinated to the full vaccination schedule, regardless of their condition or your desires or anything else, then you were penalised, you were fined. Essentially, you lost your payments, your legitimate tax exemptions, and your child couldn't go to daycare and a whole lot of other things. You became a pariah in your own country.
Was this federal?
This was federally, yes. It was called No Jab, No Pay.
Which government?
It was put in by the Liberal government, and the minister that brought in was the Social Services Minister, who was Scott Morrison, and Scott Morrison later then went on to be the Prime Minister.
Wow. So Scott Morrison was always, I mean, a wrong'un. He was a cuck, a fake.
Scott Morrison... Yes, is a wolf in sheep's clothing, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Interesting. The man
does lack a lot of empathy. You actually can see it. He makes a claim to be a Christian, but so did Judas. It's not what you claim to be or to do. It's what you do, and that defines what you are. His actions were not good. They were not right, not ethical, and they were inconsistent with the whole spirit of Australia, where she'll be right, mate. Let people live. When this happened, he also came out. Now, in our Constitution, Section 116 of our Constitution guarantees your right to exercise your religion as you see fit. Part of many people's religious belief is that they shouldn't defile their bodies or their temple of God with things that they consider unhealthy, like injections made up of aborted fetal cells and so forth. And so they had a religious objection. I personally shared that religious objection personally, even though, you know, I wasn't allowed to have vaccines. So he came out and he said, the Constitution doesn't stand on this one. No one, there is no exemptions. How he could do it? And I thought, that's really alarming. So I went round to the political parties at the time and I said, who's objecting? But they were all in step. Everyone. They were just all saying
really? They
basically voted it through. So in response to that, I thought there is no political voice for this group of people. So I started a political party. And that's where our trouble started. That was a long answer to your
that's
question.
That's your fault, Michael.
Yes. So we started a political party and I used to think, let them come after me. I'm good for a fight. But I they got my Achilles heel. They got me in the small of the back. They attacked my wife. They got, you know, whatever you want to call it. They got my underbelly. And I thought, oh, I didn't expect that. And they just came after her. Yeah.
That's so horrible. And so entirely typical of the way that these people think and how they operate. Yes. They're diabolical.
They're soulless. There's something very dark and deep in there. And I honestly still pity them. And I know that ultimately they'll have to answer for all their misdeeds and their dastardliness, if I haven't said that correctly, but in the meantime, evil prospers when good men do nothing. And that was what I thought. And I thought, I can do something about this. And I used to think, I'd like to think that if I was a 20s and 30s something parent trying to get in life, that there may be some old bloke that would take up the fight and try and defend my right to raise my children how I see fit and in the principles that I believe. And that's why I got into it.
By the way, Michael, I have to say, you look bloody good for 65. I mean, you definitely look 10 years younger, at least.
Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, obviously, you're a testament to your lifestyle and the. So, how's it? Tell me about your political party. I mean, I imagine it's not going to change anything, but it might inform people.
Well, that's right. I become we've just had an election in Dictator Dan or Daniel Andrews has just had his election on the weekend on Saturday. And he got back in. I can't believe it.
It's rigged.
We're gutted. I'm getting calls from people. They say, we can't believe it. And I've been looking at the figures today. And people voted en masse for him again. Because there's something funny about people. You know, like when Hitler was at his peak and doing obviously some things that were hurting other citizens of the country, though he still had his supporters that were happy to die and kiss his feet. Stalin had them. In fact, after they both went, it took generations for people to accept that they could possibly be wrong, and that, and even many people to their death still believe that Stalin was a good guy, and it was probably Beria was the real problem, but Stalin was he was the good guy. No. These guys are not good. These people. They were not good, and these people that, like Daniel Andrews, is not a good man.
No.
You know, he has all the fruits of a bad man, of an evil man, and he shows no remorse in his evil. And the people voted him back in again, and are happy. I watched them cheering and shouting, and I thought, you poor deluded souls.
So you probably agree with me that the problems we're facing in the world today are not going to be solved by the conventional political system. It's going to have to completely break.
Well, I do feel that. And I've often said to people, I'll say, why are you in politics? And I say, well, all our systems have failed. I feel this is the last chance. Generally, once you lose freedom, it only comes back through revolution. Is that where we're going to go? I'm actually having a go to think that maybe I could get in there and make a difference, but it's not encouraging. I've seen you've had did you have on your podcast Lawrence?
Lawrence Fox.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I talked to him the other day about this. I said, yes. Look, Lozza, there is really no point in you trying to make a difference as a political party, because you ain't going to. It's all rigged. The whole system is rigged. Your job is to, we're fighting an information war, and you're best using your position in sort of semi-politics to get the word out and to speak out on all the issues.
I do realize this, and as well, you know, there are people they are hungry to see support. My thought of getting into politics was this. I've done many protests there. We've gone and seen politicians. We've we've spent months to organise a meeting. You give them some information and they're sitting in there. Oh, yes. Oh, lovely to see you. Oh, yes. What are you here all about? Oh, this. Oh, yes, yes. Looking at their watch. Yes, yes. Oh, I've got another meeting to go. Very busy. And they'll have someone there tapping them on the shoulder. It's got to go. And then they're gone. And I think they didn't even listen. We invested so much into this. So I thought we need to have people in there. We need to go in there. We need to be able to introduce bills, object to bills, speak to the other politicians, make friends with them. And I do have friends that are politicians, and they tell me, Michael, you're an affable sort of guy. You'll make a lot of friends in there, and maybe you could change their mind. But I said, but I do know they will love their own party first and their position.
Yeah.
It may be a I'm being told all the time, oh, it's an exercise in futility. But nevertheless, this is where I'm at.
And, right, okay.
I won't do it forever. We'll keep beating at the gate. We have an election coming up here in 4 months here in New South Wales, which I will be running there for a seat in the Legislative Council, which is the upper house of the state of New South Wales. And if there is a chance I could get in there.
And you're essentially a single issue party, aren't you? You're talking about sort of people's right to be free from
Their bodies. The party's name is the Informed Medical Options Party, but we've actually voted and we're changing the name. So the new name is the Health Environment Accountability Rights and Transparency Party. Now, how's that for a mouthful?
That's a mouthful, yeah.
But the Health H Environment E. Accountability A R T. We're the Heart Party.
Right. And okay. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Yeah.
So
as opposed to the Myocarditis Party.
Yes, absolutely. Because I look at our members, and we have thousands of members. We have a very strong board. We have very passionate people in the party, and it's an encouragement to many people on the side that we're there. It gives you some sort of standing and recognition as a registered political party. Currently, they're trying to deregister us. We're under review at the moment, but I'm not worried about this. This is the sort of shenanigans we've been going through in the middle of the last election. They closed down our PayPal accounts and all this sort of thing. It happened in two elections now. In fact, I'll tell you how bizarre it is, James. The first election I went for, I was picked up in the street and I was reported as being abducting a child. So I went through this big thing. It was all absolute nonsense and proved to be absolute nonsense, but it was reported by enemies. I've just been picked
up
recently.
It's the mainstream parties. It's Joe Biden's Democrats who are into abducting. Let's not go there.
Well, I was at the airport and I was seized only a couple of months ago, and they said, we need your phone, your computer, everything you have on you. We need your passwords. I'd been reported of child pornography, and I said, really? Really?
Oh, they can plant that on you, I mean, they'll do anything.
I gave them. I said, there's my phone and there's my password. You can have it, because I felt I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
As soon as I'd done that, I thought to myself, gee, they could put something in that, but they didn't. They came back and said that it was clean. I said, well, I knew it was clean. That's why I was, and I thought, how long am I going to be here? But only a few weeks later, they did the same thing to me again. I said, how long are we going to do this, guys? It was a couple of weeks ago. There's nothing today. So is this going to be a regular thing? Every time I come along, you're going to try.
That's pretty serious.
I tell you, it is.
That is... Iron behind the iron curtain stuff, as you say, that's appalling.
I was talking to a Serbian guy when I was in Europe with Barbara a couple of months ago, and he said to me, we used to think that when everything goes pear-shaped in over here in Europe, we're all going to Australia, because Australia is the land of the great outdoors, and it's all she'll be right that we don't care. And they said, now we're looking what's happening down in Australia, and we think, we can't go to Australia. Where can we go?
Yeah.
And I spoke to a businessman yesterday who lives in the city of Melbourne, and he rang me up and he said to me, well, we've just put Dan Andrews back in. He said, I think I'm going to Thailand. I think I'll take my business out of this country. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I'm telling you, Mike, I'm that close. He said, it's just
Yeah, move to a military dictatorship. At least you know where you are there. At least they're sort of upfront about it.
I know.
So we
are on a destructive course. Australia used to be a great manufacturer. In fact, we had 6 car manufacturers in Australia. There's none here now. We're very hostile to business. It really is a socialist mindset that both sides of government have.
Can you just bring me up to speed on what's happening, the sort of the aftermath of the vaccines? I mean, what percentage of the population has held out against the jabs, first of all? Can you guess?
Yeah, well, the first one, I think they got an uptake of something like, well, it's very, they claim 90%. No one believes that.
Right.
But, you know, it was a fairly high. The second one was a bit less. It was probably around, you know, 70%. But the third one is actually quite low. And people have had a gutful, and you hear it all the time. They said, I had two, I wasn't well, they can stick the third one, you know where. So that there is a lot of people thinking that. Of course, you've got a lot of the people that'll run and take 25 if they can get them. You know, you always have the there's no short of stupidity in society. There's plenty of people to take up that side. But, you know, there is a bit of weariness. And I just spoke to a lady the other day because they're trumping it up now. Oh, there's more COVID. It's on the rise. And she said, and she's been vaccinated. She said, oh, my heart dropped. She said, they're not going to do that again to us. I can't take it anymore. Are they going to do that again? Are they starting to talk it up? And she said, and I'm not going to take any more vaccines. She said, I was so sick after the last two. So that is a feeling, I believe, with a lot of people. They're completely over it. I don't know whether they're going to try and do something with the environment, because now all the environment drums are beating, you know, the environment. And just tonight on the news, before getting on here, I tried to switch it on just to see what they're going on about. And their big agenda thing tonight is that we must not now pat koalas because it could distress them. You know, they just go on to such nonsense every day.
Yeah.
I think you can't pat koalas.
There's a lot of suspicion outside Australia among awake people, and I suspect it's probably the same in Australia. A lot of your weather disasters are actually being manufactured, that they're being caused by HAARP and so on, because they've had the technology to create extreme weather since at least the 1950s. And I think your fires, those bushfires were man-made.
Hello, James, I think I've lost you.
I think that the floods are man-made.
Sorry, James, I think we lost you there for a sec.
Oh, well, it will have been recorded anyway. I was just saying that your floods and your bushfires, I suspect, were probably man-made. The Australia is being used as a kind of test case for, you know, sort of man-made weather disasters, which are then used as a way of ramping up the climate change agenda and increasing controls on freedoms.
Yes. Yes, there's a lot of talk about that. I'm certainly open to that. I do think we are a land of extremes. I was brought up in school that we're a sunburned country, that we're a land of droughts and floods and fires.
Yeah.
I wonder if all the alarmism we're having now doesn't serve a larger purpose. And is it really any worse? Now, we just had big fires here. They came completely through our place. We didn't lose a building. I have 17 buildings on here, and we had fires lapping right to the edge. And we just, we thank God that they're all still here, put it that way. But I spoke to my neighbour, who's an older man. I said, have you ever seen anything like this before? He said, yeah, I've seen it like this before. He said, 1969. He said, oh, it was probably worse. And so I try and get perspective. And as far as floods, I grew up in a town called Maitland, which was known for being awash in floods. We haven't had floods there for years. They do have floods. So I probably take a little bit of an angle. Is this just a lot of alarmism? See, the flood that we recently had in the town of Kempsey, which is our nearest big town, they said it was the worst flood in 50 years. So I went down with my camera, and on the power pole, there's a sign that shows in 2001 where the water was, at right up the top of the pole, yet now it's down lapping at the bottom. So I said, well, have a look at this. This is the worst in 50 years, but it just so happens that 20 years ago, it was way up there. It's nowhere near it. So what's the reality? The reality is the media is beating it up. That's the reality. They're making a story out of I saw that flood have living here for 20 years, and I was here in the 2001 flood. They were big floods. They were massive floods that swamped the whole town. And now, you know, everything is it's high drama. So, yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's well, your media is so suspect. I mean, I was shocked when I went over to Australia that actually your ABC might be even worse than the BBC. The only thing you've got in Australia, you've got Spectator Australia, which is really good. You've got Outsiders on Sky News Australia, and you've got Corey Bernardi's show, which I do, and you've got a few heroes like my mate Ian Plimer. So there is a resistance, and you and Barbara, of course. But I mean, really, your country has fallen. It's so sad.
It has fallen, and it's very, very sad. You know, when Barbara was, she came under all this attack. I sat her down and I said, listen here, this has happened. So this is our options, love. We can do three things. And I thought about this. One is you can retire. Today you can retire. We can afford that you can retire. If you like to retire, just retire. Number two is we can go to court. I've spoke to the lawyers. We've got to front up $500,000 as a retainer. It'll cost more. But they said they will run the case for us, but we need $500,000 to start it.
In a bent system.
Yeah. And number three is you can just go overseas. She said, overseas. That's what I want to do. I don't want to retire, and I never want to go back to court again. She said, I'll just go overseas. I said, you sure that's what you want to do? So it's been even tempting for me to, you know, relocate out of the socialist republic that's sort of that's being developed and down here in Australia. But I stay. My children are here. Our families are here. My friends, and I do have a voice down here to object. And I feel that I have a responsibility to stay and do. But honestly, we could financially just leave this country and. I don't know where we go.
Where would you go? That's the thing.
Well, I'm actually going to Africa in 2 days.
Which it's a big continent. Which country?
I'm going to Kenya.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I have a very good friend. He's been there for 25 years, and he always says to me, "Come to Kenya. It's pretty free over here. We can do it."
I love Kenya.
Yeah. So anyway, I haven't caught up with him for years, and he's a darn good mate, and. So I said to him, listen, I've got a bit of a gap at the end of the year. I've been threatening to come there for many years. So I said, I'll kind of come over and see you. So I'll be there. I'll be there for a few weeks.
So what? So where is Barbara now?
Barbara's here.
Oh, she is.
She's here. She's at our home, which is a half a kilometre away. I've just come into the office because it's quiet here. And I have good internet here in the office.
Well, I tell you, mate, actually, I'm looking at you're currently... 27% uploaded, so you're going to have to keep your machine on for quite a while after this podcast, because otherwise it won't upload and the our fantastic
it's
chat
lost.
will be lost. so I'm just telling you now.
That's fine. I'll just leave it on.
What time is it there, by the way?
It's now 8:02 p.m.
Oh, okay, right. So, yeah, so you've caught me in the morning, and I've got to go and... I say I've got to. Yeah, I do, actually, for the good of myself. I've got to go and get on a horse now, because I like getting on horses and riding around fields, because I think that, you know, you can never be unhappy on a horse. Have you got
horses
there?
I'm very happy to... No, we don't have horses. I basically made a declared this place a wildlife sanctuary some time ago, so... we have a lot of kangaroos. We have platypus. We have an abundance.
You've got platypus.
We absolutely have platypus here.
I bloody went to look for platypuses and I never saw one when I was in Australia.
Well, we have them here. And they're not easy to see. A platypus is very timid. And you say you might have to sit on a bank for a while until they think you're not there and they will come out and then start to make a movement. But, yeah, we definitely have them. I've seen them many times.
Right. Have you got koalas?
We don't. They're very thin on the ground here. You might have a few in the bush, but, yeah, I think
don't stroke
after
them.
The fire, the big fire, they'll take a while to come back, yeah. They got all got a bit scorched.
Don't stroke them there because that's a form of harassment.
Yes.
I hear.
The poor things, they probably get distressed. But anyway, we can provide counselling services for them, get them over that, I'm sure.
Michael, I would if ever I'm in Australia, I would so love to come to your retreat. It sounds absolutely fantastic. Tell us, I suppose this is mainly a message for Australians. Where can they find your retreat, first of all?
They can find us at www.mmh.com.au. We're in Bellbrook, New South Wales, which is on the mid-north coast west of Kempsey, which is,
Okay. And are there any other things you want to plug, promote? Barbara's, we can only look up Barbara now from old footage from the internet, can't we? From YouTube
and stuff. She's doing new things all the time when she's in Europe. And in fact, I'm just looking at her schedule I have on the wall. Next year is entirely full. Pretty much the entire year is full. I'm looking at here. It's, Tennessee, Oregon, then she's over to Germany, Spain, Canada, back to UK, Ireland, Nuremberg. Her year is full.
Oh, so could I technically, legally, without jeopardizing her freedom, do a podcast with her when she's not in Australia?
Absolutely. She's very happy to do it.
I'd love it. She's amazing.
James, that's no problem. If you keep in touch with me, organise it through me because I organise all her schedules and
that would be cool.
She'd be more than happy to have a chat to you.
Okay, that's great. And thank you, everyone, for watching. I've mentioned this before and I think it's worth repeating. There is a kind of concerted effort by the evil forces that are trying to close people like me and Barbara and Michael down to try and make it as difficult as possible for us to monetize our service, you know, whatever you want to call it. I'm finding that the payment processors are making it difficult for me to earn a living. I'm on Substack, I'm on Subscribestar, I'm on Patreon, and I'm on Locals. Please find whatever way you can to support me. And if one doesn't work for you, try another. I put all my stuff on all these platforms. But otherwise, they're just going to shut me down because I'm not going to be able to earn a living. So please, please do make an effort. I know it's a hassle, but I really, really appreciate it. And Michael, is there anything else you want to say before we depart in peace, according to thy word?
We're over here. We're fighting the fight in Australia. We do still have some hope that Australians might come to a point and wake up and
please God
and take control. I do think everything runs in cycles. Evil cannot prosper forever. It never has, but it's a very uncomfortable time while it has its heyday. Currently, evil is in its heyday, but it will end. I do know that because history shows that it will basically implode because a lie never fails. The truth will always survive. And I feel very confident in the positions that I hold that I'm only going from a standpoint of truth. I value the truth above all things. And a truth is a truth. There's no my truth and your truth. We only have the truth. We have my opinion, your opinion. And I strive to and hope to that all the views that I hold are in accordance with truth. And I make a strong effort to find out what is the truth and then embrace that and stay with that. And if I found at any point it's not, then I'm willing to change. My only allegiance is to the truth, not to my own pride.
I'm totally with you. I think truth needs to be our watchword. Love, truth, and beauty—they all come from
Absolutely.
God. And if you pursue those things, you can't go far wrong.
And you sleep well at night because you know that, you know, you're in sync with God. You're in harmony with the truth. You go and sleep and you can wake up and fight the battle the next day without misgivings.
Yeah. Great. Well, Michael, thank you so much. I was very envious of those birds that I could hear making exotic bird noises in the background. I'd love to come and go on your retreat. And please send my love and admiration to Barbara.
I will. I will, James. And you come to Australia, you have a... Whether you do come and want to do a retreat or just come and visit us, there's always a bed for you.
Great. Thanks, mate. Okay. Right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. See you later.